This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Open for Business. We're going to be talking a little bit, I guess, today about agritech and how it's the use of technology and technological innovation to improve efficiency of output of agricultural process. In other words, it's the application of technology to improve all elements of the farming and growing process. Now, founded in July of 2020, NutriBar is a startup that adopts a farm-to-table model for its organic produce using IoT-based smart farming technology to optimize production capacity while undergoing and undertaking eco-friendly farming practices to reduce environmental degradation. Moving forward, NutriBar aims to be the first modern farm to digitalize the agriculture industry in Sabah, so consumers will have access to fresh produce, farmed organically, sustainably, and most importantly, is guaranteed safe for consumption. On the phone with me right now, I have Preston Sean from NutriBar. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, Richard.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you to have us on board.
Absolute pleasure. Now, I understand you've been quite busy over the past few weeks. How are things now? Have things started to settle down a little bit?
Things are okay. The interstate travels has been quite a hiccup.
Yeah.
Due to all the cases, especially here in Sabah. But now it's all good. It's all settled in.
Okay. Now, So I got a press release not too long ago, and I saw you guys, I think it was on the Vulcan Post when I first heard about you.
Yeah.
About a year ago, I think that was.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about the beginning of the business, but can you just rewind a little bit for me and for those that might not be familiar about you guys? You know, who's behind it, the beginnings of NutriBar, and how did you kind of identify that gap in the market that you wanted to fill?
Yeah, so essentially, knowing the organic agriculture, it only stands at about 1% of global agricultural land. Mm. It's basically the greatest, most untapped resources there is.
Mm.
And we also realized that organic prices, organic products in Malaysia especially in Sabah, are very, very pricey. And you know, it depends on importations from Australia, China, US and so forth. So what we did is that we have all these resources here. We have NutriBar has 6 farms that has been running for almost 2 decades, both in agriculture and aquaculture. But what we face in terms of the challenges is that it is not being properly consolidated and marketed at the same time, as well as it's not being managed and coordinated properly. So NutriBar was founded by the whole vision and mission to consolidate and coordinate all the farms, from farm to the processing, straight to the consumers as well. Therefore, we provide farm-to-plate experience right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and who was... on, please.
No worries. So there is a huge potential for Malaysia, especially Sabah, that we have abundance of land and mega biodiversity. Therefore, this whole thing is that if we must be able to learn how to monetize it, and also to create a proper coordination on how to allocate the resources and how to utilize the resources as well.
Right.
So that is where we stepped in.
And who, if you don't mind answering this question for me, Preston, who's the kind of driving force behind the idea? What's the team behind it?
It's a whole team effort. We have about 20 to 25 of us, ranging from the aquaculturists, the agriculturists, as well as we have our factory operators running. We have the sales and marketing team, strategists, as well as we are running on nutritionists and dietitians to understand the proper organic produce, the nutrient levels.
And you know, let's talk a little bit about what you mentioned earlier on. You have abundant resources over in Sabah to grow pretty much anything, you know, organic food or whatever it is. And you've decided to adopt an IoT-based smart farming system. Can you tell me a little bit about that? What kind of details do you capture, and what do you use the IoT specifically for?
IoT, in nutshell, it's actually just a communication tool between sensors, like hardware and software. So what we did is that we installed sensors that collects data that is useful for us, like soil, the soil quality, the salinity, and the toxicity level of the aquaculture, as well as the fertilizers being used. But most importantly, is the humidity and the water level as well. So, you know, all this while, farmers has been farming via intuition and gut feeling. There is no formula to it. With IoT, we are able to extract all the precise data, and we can formulate and tabulate it, and so that we can create like a handbook, like a guidebook that is transferable to future generations. Yeah, so that's one of the main point why we had IoT on board, and it has helped us tremendously in terms of, you know, precision farming, like to provide a very consistent yield throughout the whole quarter. It helps us understand the requirements for each particular crops that's needed to fruit or to grow healthily. And it has even helped us to understand the exact water irrigation that's needed to for each specific plant. So in a nutshell, it really helps in terms of cost management and productivity as well. It's a great add.
Did you see any kind of pushback from farmers who have been doing things traditionally when you approach them with these ideas, perhaps, and say, you know, we can help you with your yield? Because, as you mentioned, a lot of people have been doing it by feel, you know, by gut instinct. Has that been at any point a difficult process?
That is actually the main challenge that we have, which is to, you know, to upskill and to reskill the farmers. And can you imagine this, Richard, right now? Imagine a farmer in front of you with his head and all in his farm.
Yeah.
And can you imagine having to teach him or to assist him to communicate with you via Excel?
Right. Yeah. That, yeah.
Yep.
I can imagine how difficult the process that would be.
Yes. So they have very, very minimal digital knowledge, know-how, and to even operate a proper dashboard, computer, desktop, or even mobile phone. So, but we really put a lot of hard and work and patience to it as to really help them instead of replacing them, because we don't want technology to actually replace people. But we want to uplift them, upskill them, and even reskill them.
And enhance what they already do.
Sometimes, now,
Please carry on.
Sometimes there are things that, you know, machines just can't communicate, and it's their hands-on, the past 20, 30 years experience that counts.
Yeah. Right. I suppose that kind of leads me onto another question: is and what have you learned from them?
Well, we learned a lot. Like, personally, I'm from a legal background. I studied law. And I have no clue about farming. So, other than my greatest book, which is Mr. Google, and them, my Sifu. So, they really showed, like, as to which plant is supposed to be planted in which particular way, and what sort of methods of pruning that it should be cut. Because in terms of technology, they cannot identify which particular branch to be cut and to be not. Or even a leaf that has already turned yellow, as of now, there's no viable robotics that's able to remove them. So it is still up to them to tell whether this yellow is the correct one to remove or not.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a short break here, Preston.
All right.
I'm on the phone with Preston Sean. He's the executive director of Nutriba. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, a little bit more of this discussion, of course. We're talking a little bit more about how big the team is, perhaps how it was funded. And, of course, we need to be talking about sustainability. That's all coming up after these messages here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Open for Business. I'm on the phone with Preston Sean. He is from Nutriba. Founded in July 2020, they're a startup that adopts a farm-to-table model for its organic produce using IoT-based smart farming tech. Preston, we were just talking earlier about, what you've learned from the farmers over there. Let's talk a little bit about, and one of the first things you said was, imagine a farmer stood in front of you wearing a hat and you have to, you know, communicate via Excel. Do you think that there are enough Sabahans online to help grow this kind of business, or is that still an issue over there?
I think in terms of digitization for Sabah, like the main problem is the internet connectivity infrastructure, especially in the rural areas. Like the connectivity is very low, and it's almost absurd at some point. So I think that is also the main problem that is refraining people from actually going digital, because it's not a viable way for them to rely on, especially to order produce or to even operate their business.
Yeah,
I think that is one of the main issues.
Especially for people who have been doing it a certain way for so long, it's like an extra hurdle that they'd have to go through, right?
Yes, yes. And the onboarding process is tough. And of course, not many are willing to really come on board. But despite the whole pandemic, it really gave a push, it really gave a good push to a lot of people.
Right. Can we talk a little bit about the funding of Nutriba? How was it funded? And was that a difficult process?
It's actually a bootstrap, but the most difficult part is actually to really manage the resources, how to properly stretch the dollar bill to create efficiency and to minimize waste. So we had practiced a closed loop farming system where per se our fruits and our produce, we go through a quality control, and those that doesn't pass will be fed back to our African nightcrawler worms that they will eat it, they'll eat the vegetables, and they will pee or poo out. And eventually that becomes the fertilizer to fertilize future crops. So with this practice method, it significantly lowers our cost. So these are the ways that we really have to explore, because we have to really make do with whatever available resources that we have on our hands to really generate the next level push.
Now I'm aware that, you know, you and your team are very big on sustainability, and what you've just told me there of course reinforces that. Is this something that you've always held close to your heart, or is it something that's kind of developed over time, do you think?
Like sustainability, like has always been a word that's used by many, but the greatest challenge that's coming is actually, like, people projected that by year 2050, our population will reach 10 billion.
Yeah.
And we can't feed that mass population with deforesting and, you know, causing all the soil degradation, as well as harming the environment with traditional farming methods. Therefore, we have to really look into something that's more sustainable, i.e. green energy, renewable water sources as well, things like that. Therefore, especially for Sabah and Malaysia, agriculture being the top five contributors to our GDP. So we really have to put it on the map that we really have to make the right thing for this, for the next generation to take over from us. So, or else we'll be way behind. So, but most importantly, I would like to stretch the point that farming, smart organic farming, is not only about incorporating IoT, but increasing the production per acre via vertical farming, soil base, is important as well. how we could really maximize the space so that we wouldn't have to deforest a lot of land in future, and as well as it lowering the cost and also the environmental pollution cost is very, very important. Like we have all this, you know, big industry players talking about global warming coming up, all this weather issues, climate changes coming up. But the four metrics that we always go by to whatever decision that we does for sustainability is always, is it productive? We will ask ourselves whether it's economically viable, whether it's environmentally sound, or whether it's socially just for us to adopt.
Which of those do you think you would make a priority if you were like forced to?
I personally feel a self-sustaining concept. Therefore, Nutribar, we built a concept farmhouse that is fully self-sustaining. So we integrated solar panels to our greenhouses, and we run on natural water resources that we extracted from the waterfall. We have fishes, we have our protein source. Like the idea behind sustainability is not just the concept of farming, but can us human live in it? And humans, we only need 7 basic essential nutrients in our body to survive. Like before this, maybe like, you know, 10,000 years ago, we eat to survive, but people nowadays eat for the taste or the luxury of it. But this farmhouse, we are able to cultivate aquaculture as well as agriculture, as well as protein source, fibers, carbohydrates, all in one. So it's a model that we have created that can be replicated throughout the whole world. That it's a self-sustaining ecosystem that you can live in it, that you can harvest from it, that you can grow from it, and you don't need external dependency. Per se, that it will really strengthen our food security system in future, as well as our food nutrient system in future.
Yeah. I'm coming to visit your farmhouse next time. It sounds fantastic. A couple more questions, and obviously, you know, we should probably talk about some of the produce you produce and how it gets to the consumer. Talk to me about some of the crops that you grow and then how does it actually get to the consumer?
Okay, so for domestic produce, we grow the conventional leafy greens, such as kales, mustards, and Malaysians call it sawis, cabbage, and fruits as well.
Yeah.
And for peninsula, we cultivate our organic prawns, our organic seafood, as well as our sachai chi oil, kale powder, and our juices. So we cater to both of them. And when we deliver to them domestically, we really prove it to them that it's freshly harvested among their orders. So usually when you order your produce, it's still on the ground. It's still on the soil. So we will show you that this is your greens. It's going to come to you tomorrow.
And that's where the IoT comes into play as well.
Yes, that's where the IoT comes in.
Fantastic stuff. Okay, I think I'm about ready to wrap up here, Preston. Fascinating interview, and I really do hope that things go well for you over there moving forward. Now, just before I wrap up, final question for you. Where do you see yourselves as a company or as a business in, I don't know, 3 years' time, 5 years' time? Where would you like to be?
We really hope the concept of smart organic farming falls beyond just the farming method, but the methodology in between that, from smart farming to smart manufacturing, as well as smart marketing, so that us, especially farmers, won't get pressed by middlemen in terms of prices, which significantly cost. The main cost during the first initial pandemic is that there's such a huge amount of wastage. That's all due to because farmers have no direct connection to the consumers.
That's right.
So if we are able to bridge this and break through this particular part, so I think the cost efficiency will be great, and us as Malaysians can all come into a whole to really bring our agriculture industry to a whole new next level.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Preston.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I've been on the phone with Preston Sean. He is from Nutruba, founded back in July 2020. They're a startup that adopts a farm-to-table model for their organic produce using IoT-based smart farming tech to optimize production capacity while undertaking eco-friendly farming practices to reduce environmental degradation. Stay tuned here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.